As the Story Grows, I'm Brian Patton. Today we welcome Villanova frontman Alexander Kierski to the podcast. Villanova released Hit It back in September with the Rising Empire Records. Alex talks about life in Berlin and cities versus living in smaller towns and villages, Villanova's visual and musical aesthetic, wanting to break from metalcore lyrical cliches on Hit It, surprise dropping a record, and more. I've been a huge fan of Villanova since a Rising Empire dropped their first music video, and getting to talk to Alex just made me a bigger fan. So if you haven't checked out Hit It yet, make sure you do. Thanks so much for listening to this episode of As the Story Grows. If you're brand new to the podcast, welcome. Thanks for hanging out with us. You can find links in our show notes or at asthestorygrows.com for our mailing list, our Discord server, and our Patreon page, where $1 a month will get you early access to every episode. Enjoy today's conversation with Alex from Villanova. I know. Brothers were not originally from Berlin, but is that where you were?
Yeah, born? Yeah. I'm the only original Berliner in the band, actually.
Nice. Yeah. Berlin is the only place in Germany I've ever been to. And anytime I talk to a Rising Empire bands, they're like, Berlin is not Germany.
Yeah, it's like this weird, bizarro zone, like Twilight Zone place.
Yeah.
That in a way is like very German and very not German. Just
yeah.
A lot of like cultural things. I think it's the same way how probably some people, like, you know, like Texans would view LA, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Probably,
or
like that.
Yeah. Or New York, right? Or any place you go in my neighborhood, like, I mean, yeah. It's like you, yeah. Other people influence the way cities are. So.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah. What was growing up like?
I mean, that's the thing, right? In Berlin, like, it's such a big city. So, your experience really like depends on where you grow up. I grew up like in the south of Berlin, which, you know, not very central. So I think I just had a normal, like, really upbringing.
Yeah.
Not really that much crazier. I think like the big difference that you have in Germany is like either growing up in a village or growing up in a major city. I think that's, you know, just because, like, if you grow up in a village, you have to take the car everywhere. Public transportation is not as much of a thing. Also, just culturally, it's like a little bit different.
Yeah.
But I think that's like much more of a universal type of thing. And like,
yeah,
obviously. Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
But like, one thing that was really cool, like, growing up was also like just the nightlife and club culture. I think when you're like 19, 20.
Yeah.
You know, starting to study, like, just having access to that, like, that's something that seems normal. But, like, you know, getting to know people that, like, came here and, you know, for maybe smaller towns or whatever, they're, like, really hyping it up and, like, knowing that it's not normal in a way that's, you know, you appreciate it more. But, like, you know, just right now my life is so much, you know, just centered around the band and working, that I don't really notice a difference. I don't think it makes a difference, like, living in Berlin or any other city, really.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
It's kind of universal. I asked this question of somebody recently about, like, the difference of, like, city or village life. And I think because they call it a village, you think about it different. But I'm like, the way my wife grew up and the way I grew up are completely different, because she grew up in a small town in the south of America.
Yeah.
And I grew up here in DC. And so it's like, we didn't have the same experience. Like,
no, totally.
So it's like, it's no different. It's all relative. Yeah. Yeah,
it is really relative. Maybe you're like much more used to just like some stuff.
Yeah.
I know, just because like my girlfriend, she's from smaller town and like right next to Berlin, right? Yeah. And there's like some stuff where like you're taking the train in Berlin and like people are just weird.
Yeah.
And like you're just used to it, you know what I mean? Like,
right.
Okay, that's normal Berlin person. She's like, what the fuck? When you grow up, you know it. You're like, okay. And you also like, you kind of have a feeling of like when people are actually weird. Like, there's like weird and then there's like dangerous weird.
Yeah.
And like, if they're like in the weird just kind of area, you know, everything is good. But like, people that don't know that, they're like getting stressed out.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, absolutely. What gets you into music?
Yeah. What did get me into music? Yeah. So like, we're already recording. Like, are we doing the podcast?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Nice. Okay.
We're just talking, hanging out.
Yeah. No, just because like sometimes people are like, okay, now the intro you are listening to as the story grows. No, just kidding.
No.
just checking what the vibe is. Yeah. I mean, there are like different stations, I think, in the evolution of me as a musician, which, it's a weird thing to say just because when are you really a musician, right? But like, yeah, there was this point when I was, I think, in third grade, and I was watching TV, and it was like kind of late at a point where like there were no cartoons on TV anymore. Like, you know, there's like after 8 p.m. it's just like adults, like just sitcoms, shit like that. And I would like zap around with my dad on the couch, and then they played a movie on another channel, which was the Beatles' Yellow Submarine movie, which is an animated film by the Beatles, for the Beatles, whatever, you know, starring the Beatles as animated characters. And I was like, what the fuck? It's past 8 p.m., but there's something animated on the TV.
Yeah.
This is crazy. Can I watch this? And my dad was like, it's kind of late, but like, it's the Beatles, so yeah, he can watch it. It's, you know, I think it's safe to watch for a kid.
Yeah.
And I watched it, and I was like super amazed by the Beatles movie and by the music and everything. And like, that was like, I got super into the Beatles and like very obsessed. And my mother at the time, she was working at a radio station. So she was able to like just, because like she had access to a bunch of CDs there. They had everything in the archive, and she was able to like just, you know, copy me the Beatles CDs and give it them to me. So like I had the whole Beatles discography at the time. I was like, fuck yeah, you know, very like that was all I was listening to. And then I wanted to play the guitar, started playing the guitar. Then I was a teenager. When I was a teenager, I was like, oh yeah, I really want to stop playing the guitar and play video games and smoke weed all day. Not as much of a conscious decision as I'm making it seem right now, but like that was how it was. Like, I kind of dropped the guitar because I had better things to do, smoking weed and playing video games and feeling sorry for myself. And then when I was like 17, I watched a random screaming tutorial on YouTube just because I had a friend that was, he could do like a basic growl, just basically like shitty ass growl, and like for me that was insane. He was like, what the fuck, how is he doing that? And he was like at a party, he was like, I was like, wow, this is sounding, well, what is he doing? And so I had vacation, I was looking up screaming tutorial on YouTube.
Nice.
And just did the first one. Nice. Dove headfirst into the rabbit hole, and then like that turned into me like just being interested in that, and also like taking singing lessons basically. Yeah. Started a first small band with friends of mine. We're just like hanging around at the rehearsal space. Just, we had one song, we smoked cigarettes and hung out basically.
Yeah.
And then at a certain point, I met the ex guitarist of Villanova. He wasn't in the band yet, but like connected on Facebook. 1 year later, he, you know, hit me up. He was like, yeah, I have this, I'm in this band now. We're looking for a singer.
Nice.
Want to try out? And the rest is history.
That's awesome. What was the music scene like in Berlin at the time for you? I know it has a lot of bands have come out of that scene, but you know, everybody's experience is different.
Berlin,
times.
Berlin is really weird in that regard, just because like it's a huge city and there is a metal crowd there. I mean, you know, there, if a band comes through, you know, Bad Omens are playing here in a few months. They are like filling an arena. If Architects are playing here, they're also like filling big rooms. So like there is the demand. However, like in my time, and I know it wasn't always that way, the scene isn't really that big, you know what I mean? It's not like you have like those local crazy hardcore shows. Like when I joined the scene, like as an active musician, you really just had small shows of like the same local bands, like let's say 20 local bands just like playing in different constellations. So like not really that crazy, but like one thing that I do remember is that when I was like, you know, I joined Villanova when I was 19. However, when I was 16, I had friends that were in a band. At that time, I wasn't in a band. And they were playing a lot of like band contests and shit like that. And like at that time, that was crazy. Like when I was 16, man, there were so many like band contests, and like they were like so many people were there. I remember being to the finale of one where like there were 800 people, which was a huge show for like just like six upcoming bands just playing. So like there was like this wave, and I know like from the ancient like legends that before that even there was a time around 2010 where there was also like a big local scene, but like it's really weird how like those scenes like they come in waves. And if you look, it's always like almost like looking at the hieroglyphs, you know, if you're like going on the Facebook page of like an older band and you see like the flyer from 2012 and there's like one name you know and like five you don't know anymore because they've broken up. So like, you know, it's this weird perpetual thing, but it's always been like more underground and like just like maybe getting bigger, maybe getting smaller over time. And there's not really this thing of like bands organically growing out of a scene, you know, via live. That's not really a thing anymore.
Right.
But which is interesting just because like with techno, for instance, that's very much a thing just because like Berlin is very much a techno city. You have a lot of clubs. Oh, yeah. I think like from what I've seen with some people I know, it's much more a thing that you can like, you know, start being a DJ, play here, play, you know, through different kind of, you know, just parties, and also establish yourself a little bit more and just make a name for yourself. Also like online is important there, but the demand is much higher, and it's much like probably, you know, it's a weird thing. So like there is a scene, but I think like with metalcore, the real step up has been to like view it much less locally but more like nationally. Like then there are also like a lot of like very also like interesting, very cool acts that are like doing new stuff, you know what I mean, and like making a name for themselves. I think like it has really grown like bigger and like
It's like the cool thing about the internet is it kind of globalized everything. And I sometimes wonder if I'm just too old now to know what's happening locally because I'm, you know, a 40-year-old dad. So
like, and I mean, if you don't have any like from a marketing perspective, it's also like, for instance, we're going to a local show like next Friday, but we're only going because like we know the person that's booking it, and also like there are bands playing there that we're friends with, you know. There's one band, like shout out Kaz, that we really want to see just because we know they're cool. However, I know that like maybe in a few years when, let's say, all my friends either don't play in bands anymore, or like we're more connected, let's say, to like more professional, like bigger bands, which also can happen, you know, like growing out of a local scene. I know that I wouldn't even like probably notice that those things are happening anymore unless I'm friends with those people, right? So like it's also like, it's like usually these shows like draw friends of the bands and friends of friends and so on, but it's hard to like gain a bigger audience because like how can you sell it on, you know, or what can you sell it on? You can't be like, hey, we have this big name here, like they're maybe trying with a headliner, but like it's really, you know, that's the struggle of getting your name out and getting heard. Right?
Talk to me about Villanova's kind of sound and look and vibe. I know from like the very first video, I was like, oh, this is something fresh and new, which is really hard to do in this metalcore adjacent bubble, right? Like everything's been done before. I think I even commented on a video like, I've dubbed the band Jamiroquai Core.
I mean, I think we have to start with like it's really interesting because like I'm also a graphic designer, so I also have the tendency to like talk about the visuals a lot, and people would be like, hey guys, you're still a band, you know, you're talk about the fucking music, man, what the what's your problem? But yeah, if we start with the music, I mean, I guess we come from like a metalcore background, I would say. We started as more of a metalcore band with some progressive elements, even though like the progressiveness that's also like, you know, depending on who you ask, stuff is either more or less progressive, of course. And yeah, with this record, it's just that we, I think we just did a lot more like reflection, and like we had just more intention of what we want to do. Like one thing that I always say is like, with this one, like the defining factors is that Felix and me were, I think we were like in the creative driver's seat, you know, just because for some reason we were really on the same wavelength. Well, it just shared the same vibe. We didn't really have, there was a lot of chemistry there. And like, we didn't really, like, I think we kind of knew like the direction we wanted to go in without having to talk about it a lot, just like having to figure out the specifics and how we want to do it, I guess. And also I have to mention, you know, I'm like the, I don't write the music, you know, I'm the singer. However, with this album, I did give a lot of feedback and have a very specific like vision in mind, I guess. So like, I did have some influence there, just mentioning that because like, I don't like when I talk about stuff like this, I don't want it to seem like I've written the instrumentals or something just because, but it's like really hard to gauge just because I think like this, this process has been very synergetic in the way like, that we've approached things. So yeah, like Felix and me, like really coming up with the vision of what we want this to be. Then we also had like for the first time, like we worked with our producer Leon, and he was like just a friend at first. And he's not a like known producer. He's a roofer by trade. And like, you know, he makes music just like he made music for himself and like just with friends. But like, yeah, we like he kind of became the fifth band member. Oh, like he will join the band actually, so like he we're trying to get him in on live, so like he will probably join the band, I guess. Not official yet, but yeah. And he like also like we ended up writing together, and him like also like being the producer, like knowing a lot of audio production and music theory, he was able to help like just with like granting us a lot of like room for experimentation to figure out like how we want to do it, I guess. And yeah, I just like a lot of just approaching it like just wanting to push our boundaries. I don't want to say like push the boundaries of music, just because, you know, depending on who you ask, this is either like super lame or crazy. You know, if you come from like, if you just listen to basic metalcore, this will seem super wild. If you listen to artsy music where somebody is smashing a pan on his head and recording that for an hour, you're like, oh, this is, you know, this is not crazy. You know what I mean? Depending on how far you zoom out, like music is either, we can also be very boring. And I don't think that we are doing something that has never been done before. I think without us, it's just that it's just probably the way we pick the influences and assemble the ingredients, so to say, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, and just like wanting to do something that is like feels maybe a little bit more universal, where, you know, it can be heavy, it can be aggressive, but it can also be fun.
Yeah.
But also like not just be a funny band. I think one of my favorite ways to put it, that was something that my girlfriend said. She was like, you are a fun band, but you're not a funny band.
Yeah.
Of course, if you look at our social media, we are funny as well. But like the music is not, it's not joke music, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, you're not listening to the music. You're like, oh yeah, they made a fart joke here and like did the stupid thing there. It's still, I feel like a very much a serious album.
Yeah.
However, it has this thing where it can be fun and lighthearted and like have a bit of a smirk. You know what I mean? Or like, like it can wink at you, but like you still get something that is emotionally like authentic and impactful. And I think, and like having something that, you know, encompasses all of that was really our intention. And I think the way, you know, some people say it's all over the place, which it is. And I think that's a tendency the band always had. And like also like Felix writing always had, if you listen to the earlier material, but like, we're just like trying to like hone that in and still like develop something that feels like there's a thread running through every song that makes the album like work as a whole body of work, you know?
Yeah.
I think that was something that was important. And the whole visual stuff, as I said, also graphic designer studied that. So it really made sense to like step into that role for the band at this point. And I, just think about like how we can just extend the identity of the music to make it much more of a holistic art project, I suppose. I know it sounds very pretentious to put it like that, but in a way that's how it is. You just want to communicate what's inside, like you know, the music in the visuals, the colors, the way you present yourself, the way you deliver maybe a video, and just make something that feels immersive where people can dive into and just get an idea of this project. Like, that's something that I really want to do. I wanted to make something where you're looking at this maybe just online for now, and you really feel like there's a universe where this band is coming from.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I think it's important in a world where so much art, there's so much AI bullshit out there now.
Yeah.
Music is so disposable. It's like, no, we put our fucking heart and soul and intention into this. Like, yeah. About kind of your lyrical themes, the press release said, you know, it explores modern working culture burnout. Like, what type of things were you pulling from when writing the lyrics?
Yeah, I think also there I have to go and take a step back, because like ultimately I think it all starts with just an attention for like a general vibe and direction, just because like with this album I was inspired by also like a lot more like hip-hop, I think. Okay. Just because I also like grew tired of like the lyrical themes of metalcore, you know, just the dark shadows of the abyss are battling inside the never resting heart of the sleeping giant. I don't, you know, I don't know, you know, stuff like that. I was like, okay, it's not something that I've ever done, but like I had like before I had this tendency of like also writing things that are much more complicated and convoluted, I think. Mm-hmm. And I really like wanted stuff to sound less intellectual, really. And that's not because like I wanted to make it more approachable.
Yeah.
It's just because like I found myself really inspired by stuff that was more to the point, like language that felt more like, if you imagine it for like language to come from different worlds, I really wanted the language to come from like my real life.
Yeah,
basically, you know what I mean? For it to feel much more like putting everyday life and everyday experiences into like, you know, sung or spoken or like screamed word. That was something that I really wanted to do. Yeah, just because I also felt like the topics that were talked about, like there's this a few underlying themes, I think, and also like culturally like some stuff that is really influencing everybody without really like without everyone noticing it. I think like metalcore right now really is an online genre. Mm-hmm. So like either like if you view like punk, let's say in the 80s, just like hypothetically, like the stuff they were singing and talking about, that was stuff they were pulling out from like their everyday like experiences or the people they were hanging around with or like the political climate at the time, right? So like, yeah, it really felt like what they were singing about like was connected to some kind of culture. Or let's say like with hip hop, it's the same, you know, people are, you know, singing and rapping about like the, like there's this culture of them just like talking about what they're experiencing, you know, the stuff of realness. And with like modern metalcore, I think either like because there's no physical counterpart to the music, I think we're ending up like either talking about like abstract concepts or like about our suffering, but like in fancy words that we're hearing other people use, basically. Mm-hmm. Or like right now it's like the cyber matrix is attacking the network of whatever, you know. You know, that's like, and that's probably also because we're all like middle-aged dudes that are playing video games. And that's, you know, also like online stuff, like, yeah, you know. And it's not like I'm less chronically online. I really much am. But I was like, okay, what if I just take a step back and really like just focus on what's going on in my life? And it may not seem as exciting from the content that is going on in the song. Like Mas Rapido is just like, I'm working a lot and I'm feeling like shit and I don't have any money.
Yeah.
But like, I think just because you're doing that in a climate where like people are not talking about that stuff in maybe, you know, their songs in that way, maybe that makes it more exciting, and it feels more exciting to me. Like it felt very refreshing to write about stuff in that way. And that was like a theme I wanted to keep for like a lot of these songs, and just like really develop the style for me that is like still poetic and impactful, but like still understandable and universal. Yeah. You know?
This album, I mean, the way Rising Empire works, bands are dropping singles so for a long time leading up to the release of the record. Instead of this giving this record a release date for people to look forward to, surprise drop, like, here's the album. What led to that decision?
Yeah, so with that, I mean, as you already mentioned, just like dropping a lot of singles is really the go-to way for upcoming bands, not only on a Rising Empire, but just like in general, just because like with each single, you really get the chance to promote yourself, get the word out, and really like dropping an album on like less singles is kind of a luxury that you can afford, I think, when you have a bigger platform and when there is a demand, but you really have to work first to like, you know, get to the point where there is actually a demand for the album. And with that, like we just started dropping singles, and I don't think we anticipated to do as many of them. It was just that we started dropping singles when the record wasn't even finished, just because we kind of wanted to get like a head start, so to say, which was a bad decision just because it ended up like being very stressful, you know, recording music videos, recording the album, kind of also like finishing up writing, like doing basically every phase of a release at the same time.
Yeah.
A lot, like not a good idea. I would not recommend, honestly. And there was a point where, you know, at first the plan was to do so and so many singles. Let's say, I don't remember exactly, but like do four singles. And when we drop the fourth single, we will have the record done. And then we can, you know, announce it for pre-order or whatever. And then like we were late that because like the stuff always takes longer. Then we're like, okay, fuck, now we have to do another single, and then maybe maybe then we can announce, we will hand it in then. And then we weren't able to do that, and then like we really needed an alternative plan. And like to a way to wrap up this process in a way that does not feel underwhelming, because you know, just dropping a bunch of singles at a certain point, being like, hey guys, record is done, you will have it in 5 months, and we'll do another three singles, and you know what I mean, like be lame. So like we figured much rather just, you know, keep building the hype and the anticipation, play with it also, like that's something we did, like allude to an album but not say anything about it. And then hopefully like that would make the drop much more impactful, just because in my mind, I'd imagine it to be like opposed to, you know, us saying, okay, we will do the album, and then you will see, like, let's say, okay, six singles are out, you'll get the album in 2 months, and you'll be like, oh, now I only get four new songs when the album drops. It's much more like, oh, tomorrow I'm getting four new songs and the whole album listening experience, which for me like seems much more exciting rather than anticipating to be underwhelmed.
Album's been up for nearly 2 months now. What's been the plan or idea for shows and touring?
So right now we're what has been really cool and like really a blessing is that we've been just kind of like we're able to acquire the structure, like in terms of team of people, you know, like booking shows. We've gotten together with our now good friend and booker Jake, who's like doing EU. We joined Future History Management, who are also doing a bunch of really cool bigger bands. So they're supporting us there, and we are also like we got together with an American booking agency. And we already have like some stuff lined up next year with like, you know, a small UK run and doing like Europe with Novelists. So like really the plan is to be a proper touring band and dive into that and see if it doesn't destroy us while we're doing that, and hopefully come out the other end, basically.
How's the response to the record been so far?
Really good, honestly. Both in it's not something we take for granted, just because like we've been so much smaller, you know, a year back, and like I feel like just like getting heard was something that we really had to earn and put a lot of effort in, right? So it's not something for me that comes as a surprise, just because like I know where the reach that we work for came from. But it's like, what has been really cool is not only the positive feedback, it has been that I feel like people are getting the record. It's just like when people are, commenting and saying like, yeah, this seems like feels like that or sounds like that, or I can really tell you guys tried to do this. Like, most of the time they are right. Like, most of the time, or maybe there's something in there that is not, yeah, I wouldn't like say it's the case, but like a lot of people kind of assume the right things. So
awesome.
We get the feeling that this album is really doing what it's supposed to do. So that has been really, really cool.